Thank you and welcome to Juno Afternoon from community-supported KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us via our live stream on YouTube over at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Facebook page. Conversations for today, Wednesday, January 14th, 2026. The Martin Luther King Jr. holiday is coming this Monday, January 19th, and through a series of partnerships, including the Alaska Bar Association, the 17th annual MLK Day Clinics offering free legal help will take place here in Juneau. We learn how you can participate. AWARE is offering a special 10-week course, Healthy Relationships for Couples. We learn more from Natalie Watson from AWARE to help rediscover and or strengthen your bond as a couple. And this Friday, Mudrooms celebrates and presents their second annual adult-only storytelling workshop at the Crystal Saloon. Smut Rooms, Hot Takes and Hot Toddies. We find out what you can expect this coming Friday. Gunnath Cheesh for sharing your time with us. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinak John Martin. And the word this week is Yanshuka.
Yanshuka.
That means camp. And here is a sentence.
Asteh. Asteh awa Yanshuka de Kuyanakwej.
People fish when they travel by boat to camp. Let's hear it again.
Yanshuka.
Camp. Gunnath Cheesh to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinuk John Martin was Dakdain Tan and a child of a Kaguantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikak. Gunnath Cheesh.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us on a live stream on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook pages. On Monday, January 19th, the Alaska Bar Association, in partnership with the Alaska Court System, Alaska Legal Services Corporation, the ACLU of Alaska, and local bar associations, such as in Juneau, will host its 17th annual ML Day Clinics, offering free legal help in Anchorage, Juneau, Fairbanks, and Bethel. Here in Juneau, the clinic will take place in two spots, the Kunikhiti Northern Light United Church on 11th Street from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and St. Paul's Catholic Church on Atlin Drive from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., so basically Monday morning to the early part of the afternoon. And here to tell us more and share a little bit about this event are two lawyers, local Juno lawyers, Ben Hoffmeister and Kevin Higgins. Gunnath Cheesh, Yadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio today. Wasiti, Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having us.
Excellent. Well, welcome in. And Ben, Wasiti, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you.
Okay. So 17 years. Has Juno participated in the MLK Day Clinic for that whole 17 years? Do we know?
We don't know.
Already putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
it's all
started.
Good.
It started in Anchorage. And,
okay.
I think it kind of spun from there, and so some of the locations outside of Anchorage have not been around for the entire 17 years. So
right.
Fairbanks and Juneau came on. I think we came on shortly after
okay.
the first start of this back in whenever that was 2009. And then recently, Bethel has, I think over the last 4 or 5 years, has been one of the other communities that the Bar Association has been reaching out to for the clinic.
So, nice. Yeah. Okay. So I talked a little bit about it in the intro there, but Kevin, can you break it down for us? What is the clinic on Monday? What is this and who's it for?
This clinic is, it's going to be 3 or 4 hours, depending on which location. It's 4 hours in the Valley. But, you know, anybody can come in. There will be somebody, hopefully, to do a sort of intake to understand really what it is that's bringing you to the legal clinic. You don't need to sign up ahead of time, but you can, you can reach out and contact people, to see if it's something that could be addressed during. But a lot of times what we end up dealing with are there are questions about domestic relations issues, Landlord-Tenant Act. We really do get a gamut. Some of it's, a contract issue, or I got this letter from a debt collection agency. Things like really anything can bring you in the door. And a lot of times what we're able to do at the clinic, it's a very limited representation. It's not like we're going to be coming into court with you over the life of a potential case, but we can really kind of help you figure out how to orient yourself to the court system and what steps you can take next, and really just sort of point you in the right direction and point you to the resources that are available to help you.
Yeah, because I think, like you mentioned, like landlord-tenant law and things like that, that can get very, very confusing, I mean, even recently, like with the snow, right, in terms of am I worried about my roof, and is the landlord going to take care of that? And is it their responsibility to take care of it? What if something happens and, to the building, and what's my responsibility as a tenant and things like that? So are those the kind of questions I could bring to the clinic on Monday, just in terms of, not specifically necessarily about the roof, but
yes,
definitely things about my tenant and my landlord laws, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you also don't need to be at a crisis point with some question that you have to come to. In fact, if you are at the beginning stages of a potential legal issue, you can bring that and perhaps we can help you avoid getting to a crisis situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you can also learn a little bit more about this at alaskabar.org/MLK. I'm talking with Ben Hoffmeister and Kevin Higgins, two local lawyers here, about it. But you can also find out more about the overall event at that website. It has a list of all the locations. And if you know people in Anchorage or Bethel and they need to know about this too, like, let them know, right? Let them
absolutely
know that this is happening. So, Ben, what are the kind of things have you seen over the last few years that people have come in with, like just examples of potential issues? I know there's confidentiality and stuff, but so like just in general, like what can people think about that they might want to ask a question?
I mean, we already talked about one, which would be the landlord-tenant issues. And I think that's one of the main ones that is promoted on the website you just talked about and in promotional materials that the bar sends out. Domestic issues, custody, domestic relations, all those types of things as well. I'll say this now, it is an outlier, but it seems like every year we get something about wills or trusts and estates. And so we're very fortunate to have some very experienced attorneys, one in particular who always is available to answer those types of questions. And so, it runs the gamut. They are all civil issues. We don't handle criminal issues because there's a constitutional right to representation in criminal matters. And so that same right doesn't exist for the civil matters that a lot of people are facing that come in to the clinic to ask, questions. And, Kevin's right. It's a limited representation. And a lot of times it's just about helping a person prioritize the issues that are before them. So, sometimes they come in and there's a lot of things that aren't necessarily legal issues that are, they're dealing with, and trying to, if you can guide someone to like food security or, whatever it is that's ailing them, that's not allowing them to focus on whatever the legal issues that they have in front of a court or in front of a in some other kind of tribunal, then they have a hard time focusing. And so getting them focused is one of the things that the clinic is all about.
Well, I love the specificity, like it's civil issues, not necessarily criminal issues. That would be something different that would be handled. The idea of, you don't have to sign up for this, right?
So correct.
You just show up at one of these locations on Monday. And like you said, there'll be sort of a triage, figure out like who needs to, which lawyer you might be able to see And then you get like a, is it a certain allotment of time? You get like 15 minutes or? You know,
it's funny, like we try to keep them to about 20 minutes, yeah. But there's one attorney that we work with who just doesn't think 20 minutes is enough. And so we don't have stopwatches.
They think in billable hours, right? Yeah.
we're not doing that. So.
Which is not happening on money. There's no cost for this. It is free, just to get that out there for folks. It's free. You don't have to pay anything for it to get the sort of this direction on where you would want to go, because this is interesting to me. Like, I know a lot of people, you know, it's easy to put something into your favorite search engine and ask like, hey, what about this XYZ thing? But like the internet cannot necessarily tell you the truth all the time, or it might lead you down. You know, it's like when you put in an illness and all of a sudden you're dying of cancer, right? Like when you maybe just have a cold. Yeah. And so it seems like sometimes it's better to actually talk to a live person. And especially someone who's experienced in the town you live in, you know, to figure out, okay, where do I need to go next? And that's really what you're looking for on Monday, right? If you're going to this, you're like, this is my issue. What do I do next?
That's right. Yeah. And one of the things that people can do to help us in the process of, you know, advising them in these shorter periods is really having paperwork together and just trying to have as much specific information as possible about what they're seeking. I mean, again, I really hate to repeat what's been said already, but so much of it is just helping people understand what it is they're dealing with, too. Mm. One example from a couple years ago, a gentleman came in and had a letter, and he was very concerned about it, and we got a chance to, he had the letter with him and we got a chance to look at it. He thought it was a debt collection, and instead it was a letter informing him that a prior debt collection was no longer being pursued. Mm. And so, you know, it was just being able to provide him that relief of mind may have been the greatest thing I did that day. And it was just a simple matter of understanding a language that most people don't speak all the time.
Right. Well, you made me think about money, and you think about taxes, right, and things like that. Are there people who can advise on things that have to do with taxes, or is it more?
Yeah, you know, we don't get a whole lot of like legal questions with the clientele that we get for the clinics about taxes. We do get some federal issues, and we partner with ALSC, Alaska Legal Services Corporation. And so, generally, if we have questions that touch on federal issues, not necessarily taxes, but you know, Medicaid or things like that, we generally will work with them. And over the last few years, in terms of where we've gone with the clinic is we try to match people, attorneys that have, you know, a lot of experience with attorneys that don't, so that we have like kind of two attorneys working with every client. And usually somehow between those two people and the rest of the brain trust that we have there, we can find an answer. So if a tax issue that came in, we might be able to point the person into the right direction. But yeah, we're not accountants. So
right. Okay. That makes sense. So Ben, tell me a little bit about the idea of, you know, offering a free legal clinic. I know a lot of people know the term pro bono, which means, I guess, for no cost, or what is it? Does it actually, it's Latin for something, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, it probably is.
It's probably Latin for no money or something like that. I don't know. But yeah. Like, what's the importance to you as a lawyer to be able to offer your services this way?
So we all have an ethical obligation under the rules to strive for 50 hours of pro bono service every year.
Okay.
And that's what lawyers in Alaska, and I think lawyers across the country, I think 50 hours is pretty much that's the standard. And there's people that go well above that, and there's people that can never get to that. I think the idea behind the clinic, there was an attorney up in Anchorage named Russ Winter who came up with the idea and worked with the Alaska Bar Association and the CLE director at the time, Krista Scully, to create this clinic for Martin Luther King Day because of what he was seeing in you know, some national headlines and events that he had attended that really kind of impressed upon him that this day of service should apply to lawyers as well. I mean, that's what this is about. It's a day, as I was looking at some of the quotes, you know, coming in here today for this interview, it's a day on, not a day off. And as it applies to lawyers, it's a good time to exercise, you know, our ability and to try to strive for that 50 hours. And this is one way of doing it. So, yeah, I think that's really kind of like where the impetus for the clinic came from. And it's just, like I said, it's taken off. It started out in Anchorage, and now it's just, you know, it's now in four different cities across the state and keeps getting bigger.
Kevin, how many people do you think you see at these clinics every year or the last few years?
Our last couple years, you know, last year we had a maybe 20 people come through. The year before that was when we were in our last snowpocalypse, though. So, you know, we made the decision at the time to stay open, and I think, you know, we had more attorneys than clients show up that day. But
right. Luckily, we're melting now.
Yeah, so no, we're in the melting phase. Yeah, the forecast looks pretty good for the weekend.
Yeah.
We're hoping that with the two locations, we'll really start to get some more people out, because one of the things in our kind of self-assessments, you know, there's no public transportation running on Monday, so we really wanted to prioritize having two locations for people who live downtown and then people who live in the valley. So we're hoping that that will lead to an increase. Back in November, I believe it was, we did a Wills-specific clinic, and we had a group of people come out for that, maybe 10. Mm-hmm. But it's hit and miss. We're going to have, you know, we've so far got a lot of attorneys to respond and say that they're willing to show up for the whole thing or do a couple hours here and there. So we feel like we're well-staffed. And if somebody's like, oh, I don't want to, you know, take up time when somebody else more deserving might come, let me encourage you to show up anyway. We have the people available to do it. And if you show up, we'll give you what help we can.
Yeah, and there's a downtown location at the Kunikidi Northern Light United Church. And then, of course, there's a valley location at St. Paul's Catholic Church. Both of them are in morning hours, 10 to 1 at the Northern Light downtown, 9 to 2 out in the valley at St. Paul's Catholic Church. Kevin, this is just more my curiosity, but what's the sort of most satisfying pro bono work you've ever done?
I really like the clinics. One of the things I like most about being an attorney, though, is forming a relationship with the client, which is something that can happen over a longer period. I had been volunteering with the Alaska Legal Services self-help or family law clinic that they do, and I took on a case that went longer than just the couple, you know, the half hour or hour that was allotted, and really helped a woman achieve her goals with her custody and divorce that she was looking to. And that sort of thing, you know, being able to step in is really nice. Being able to form that relationship with somebody is also really meaningful. But it's the relationship with the client, the focus on the client, even for however short it may be, is really the enjoyment I get. Mm. And we try hard not to pat ourselves on the back for doing this, because it can turn into that pretty quick. But we've got a lot of self-aware people who understand that we're really not meeting the legal need of the community, and this is just one small way we can give back.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that for most folks, you know, sort of like health insurance in some ways, lawyers and legal fees, and that can be prohibitive for folks sometimes.
Yes.
It might stop you from even picking up the phone to get a consultation because you feel like you might get charged, right? Events like this, and it sounds like you do not just this once a year, but there's, you know, opportunities of these 50 hours, other events that might happen that you all do. Is there a specific, like, Juno Bar Association? Is that what it's called here?
Yeah, it's the local bar here, and it's got a history all to itself. It's been around for some time. So
a thousand years
a thousand
or more.
Years, at least. Yeah.
Because that's where people, I'm just wondering where people might follow in case there's other events that come up. I mean, is alaskabar.org a good place to start?
Yeah, it is. So, you know, the bar is centered in Anchorage, and so obviously they're going to get a lot of the resources mm-hmm. because that's where most of the lawyers are at as mm-hmm. well. And so I think we're lucky here in Juneau. We have, I think, a pretty strong bar for, you know, being a city that's not the size of Anchorage. And as a result, we get a lot of people to come out for a lot of different activities and events. And, mm-hmm. You know, the clinic, the MLK Day clinic, I think was, again, kind of born out of, you know, what I described earlier in terms of, you know, attorneys in Anchorage, you know, trying to build that up.
Yeah.
And we've tried, you know, in the past few years to, you know, to build on that, the Wills Clinic that Kevin was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it, you know, we're always looking for events, but we also are also, you know, more than willing to get people to try to, you know, volunteer for other types of pro bono work, like what Kevin was talking about with the landlord-tenant clinic. I work with the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault for their hotline. So everyone kind of has their niche, and we are always you know, trying to promote that best we can.
To your question, though, we have a weak social media game.
Oh, okay. We're
a bunch of volunteers at the JBA too. It always is something we've got on our to-do list, but never quite putting it together.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're here, and getting out on the media. It's the 17th annual MLK Day Clinics, offering free legal help here in Juneau. The clinics are taking place in two places: the Kunikidi Northern Light United Church downtown from 10 to 1, St. Paul's Catholic Church out on Atlin Drive from 9 to 2. You can get more information at alaskabar.org/MLK. I want to thank Kevin Higgins and Ben Hoffmeister. Do we know how many lawyers we have in Juneau? Is there a number? Do we know?
It usually gets bigger during session.
That's true. We got to have two numbers, right, for the different things. But Gunnith Cheese, for coming in today, gentlemen. I really appreciate it. And again, everybody get out, ask your questions on Monday on MLK Day. Thanks so much for joining us in Juneau Afternoon.
Gunnith Cheese, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely. You. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. About two-thirds of all fresh water on Earth is frozen. This water is trapped in glaciers, which cover mountains and wind through valleys, and in the massive ice sheets that blanket Greenland and Antarctica. But as the climate warms, much of that ice is melting and raising sea levels around the world. Glaciers and ice sheets form as snow piles up on land and compresses down into a thick block of ice. Each year, many glaciers lose ice in the summer as they melt and chunks break off or calve into the ocean. Then in winter, when temperatures drop and new snow accumulates, glaciers can build back up again. But the warming climate is now causing many glaciers and ice sheets to melt faster than they regrow, so they are shrinking dramatically over time. The Greenland ice sheet, for example, has lost more than 5 trillion tons of ice in just 20 years. That's about 15 million times the weight of the Empire State Building. When glaciers and ice sheets melt, water that was previously stored on land rushes into the ocean. This causes seas to rise, much like turning on the tap raises the water level in a bathtub. So as the climate continues to warm, melting glaciers and ice sheets will push sea levels higher and higher. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Once upon a midnight sun, I begged it all away. I fell to my knees and I closed my eyes to pray, and I said, oh, it's all right. Oh, let it go. Magic came and went away and tore this place in two. I came running from the north, fill the space by you, and I said, ooh, let it in. Ooh, let it in.
That's a little Dara Relatos with Midnight Sun here on Juneau Afternoon. She performed live on the red carpet stage during Folk Fest last year. We're looking forward to Folk Fest coming up pretty soon. I am Boston Christopher. This is listener-supported KTOO. Beginning next week, Thursday, January 22nd, and running for the next 10 consecutive Thursday, AWARE is sponsoring Healthy Relationships for Couples. Open to couples of all genders, this course looks at building your bond and strengthening your skills in conflict resolution, communication, problem solving, and even having fun as a couple. And here to share more about this is Natalie Watson from AWARE. Gunnith Sheesh, how are you? Good evening. Thank you so much. Wasiati, how are you, Natalie?
Oh, very well. Gunnith Sheesh for having me on.
Yeah, excellent. So I know this course was originally scheduled to start tomorrow, but because of other things going on in town, maybe some snow and things like that. You've pushed it a week to start next week.
That's right. So there's still a few days to sign up and not miss any classes.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, and you want folks, you want couples who can commit to the entire 10 weeks, right?
Yeah, that's the ideal, absolutely.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. And tell me a little bit about who this course is for.
So this is for couples who have been together at least a year. And couples who don't have a history of violence. So this is a prevention program.
Okay, it's a prevention program. Okay, so not the person you may have just met on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. You want to have people who've been in a relationship for at least a year, mm-hmm. Who don't have a history of domestic violence or sexual assault in the current relationship.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting. So tell me, how did this course come about? Is this a new course? Is this something?
This is brand new.
Brand new.
Has never done a course for couples before. We do have long-standing prevention programs, so this kind of fits into that vein.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like Girls on the Run.
Right.
And Healthy Relationships for Women, also a 10-week class. I actually teach healthy relationships in the high schools, so this, it's all about prevention.
Okay, you know. Okay. So what is the sort of the pattern of the course? Like, how does it begin? What are the kind of things that we're going to learn besides a little of the things I started to talk about at the beginning?
Yeah, so there are 10 different lessons, and they're about things like communication, conflict management, you know, creating emotional safety, safety and commitment, expectations, solving problems. Some of the most ones that I want to emphasize are learning like the danger signs. So like when tempers are rising, what to do.
Mm.
And then how to really listen to each other. So there's a technique called the speaker-listener technique that we'll teach and practice. Safety, commitment, emotional support. Important stuff that not all of us learned.
Tell me a little bit about the speaker-listener technique. What is that? And what are some of the – can we tease a little bit about what that might be?
Yeah, so this is a really helpful technique where you kind of take turns being the speaker. Mm. It might even help to have something you hold. So when you're speaking, the other person just listens. And then instead of them preparing what they're going to say in response, they mirror back what they heard. So the speaker feels heard, and then you can move forward with having more of a back and forth.
I see. So is that the sort of idea where, let's say, you're saying something to me, and I then say, okay, so what I'm understanding
what I'm hearing,
or hearing is this and this and this, and then that gives the opportunity for the person who spoke to say, no, that wasn't quite what I meant, or you're not quite getting that.
Exactly.
Or, okay.
Or yeah, just adding a little more detail.
And context,
And so both partners get to feel really heard. And that's just like not feeling heard is one of the big problems in a lot of relationships.
I think even outside of couples, right?
Yes.
I mean, at work and all your relationships in life, pretty much your parents, right?
Right?
In terms of like your mom listening to you or not understanding you. Like there's so many ways that that you can't feel heard or you don't feel heard. And so I think you might be able to even take some of these lessons that you're learning from this class and applying them to other places,
well,
right?
For sure you could, yeah.
Yeah. So you said you work a little bit with the students, right? You work with
high school students, yeah.
Tell me about that work a little bit, just because I'm curious, like what kind of, what do you see in the youth these days and what kind of things are you getting from them and what kind of things are you teaching them?
You know, in Alaska, we have the Alaska Safe Children's Act. So they're supposed to learn about sexual abuse as kids so that we can prevent that from occurring or make sure that they know they can report.
Hmm.
I mostly focus on high school students. And so we're teaching them healthy relationships, how to spot unhealthy relationships, how to spot abusive relationships, and how to get support if they are in an unhealthy or abusive relationship.
I see. Okay. And you have, tell me for those who may not know, about AWARE just in general, like what AWARE does.
Yeah. So AWARE is mostly really well known as an emergency shelter for victims of domestic or sexual violence. It's not just for women. Back in 2018, we opened to all genders. And We have a lot of other programs as well. So we mm-hmm. have transitional housing. We have legal support. Mm. We have my prevention program. We have Girls on the Run of Greater Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of really awesome programming happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
That people don't always know about.
Yeah, and you can go to awareak.org to find out everything that AWARE does in terms of the things that they've got programming-wise. And you also have a Facebook page and things like
That's
that?
That's right. Yep, we're definitely on Facebook.
Okay.
Like Instagram as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So this course has, again, it's for couples, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's for people who are in a relationship for at least a year and mm-hmm. don't have a history of domestic violence or sexual assault in them, because you want to think about prevention. And also mm-hmm. one of the things you mentioned that I think is interesting is signs, right? Signs
yeah,
that you might
signs.
Be mm-hmm. looking for. In terms of like thinking about that as a couple,
mm-hmm.
I'm curious about that, because I know a lot of times you will get advice, or people will get advice about what to look for in their relationship, mm-hmm. but not necessarily learning that together. So I'm
right.
really curious about that in terms of what's that going to look like.
I mean, this is the first time we've done it, so I'm pretty excited to see how it works. I'm actually going to do it with my husband in front of my colleagues, so it's going to be quite a learning experience for me as well.
You're putting your vulnerable
self right
in there.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Are
you thinking of things that you are? Have you – this is – okay, let me ask it this way. If you are you and your husband – talking beforehand, going into it, knowing like a goal or something that you have in mind to get out of the course?
Yeah, I think we have the goal of just kind of avoiding some of the arguing and fighting that we sometimes do,
yeah.
like everyone else. You know, every couple has conflict.
Right.
It's how you handle the conflict that determines if it's healthy or unhealthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, this is a course that you can sign up for. That sounded weird. I said, of course, this is a course. It's like I'm Mr. Ed or something. But it's a course you can sign up for. There's a Google link. You can find that on the AWARE Facebook page or on the awareak.org mm-hmm. website. I'll also link it to the show notes for today if you want to sign up there for this course, which is beginning next Thursday. It's at 6 o'clock. You're going to be doing it out at the Teal Street
That's
Center,
right. mm-hmm.
okay? And it's an hour. It's an hour and a half, so it's 90 minutes for
yep.
10 weeks
yep.
To commit with your partner to learn a little bit about these things. Now, for the folks who may not be able to sign up for this, or who may not be in a couple at the moment,
mm-hmm.
I know you can also come to AWARE and learn things. But since
yeah.
we're on the radio,
yeah,
when you're first like. Let's say you're first dating somebody,
uh-huh.
right? And you're getting into a relationship.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you get blinded by the love aspect or the lust aspect
right.
or something. You start to forgive some of the things you might
right.
be seeing. But I'm just curious if there's a warning sign or two, a red, you know, people call them red flags,
yeah.
you know, and then there's, you always see those TikToks now of like, oh, this is a green flag
yeah.
kind of person. But what are some of those things that I might let my, you know, antennas up on when I'm first dating somebody?
That's a really good question, because a lot of times we do kind of mistake some of these signs for romance. So some of them can be like intensity or volatility.
Mm.
Maybe intensity is somebody like love bombing you, like suddenly like being in love with you when you hardly know each other, or maybe like them giving gifts that you didn't want and ask for, you know, trying to get too serious too soon.
Uh-huh.
So that is actually a warning sign that most of us don't recognize. And then like volatility, maybe they're just like really loving and warm one day, and the next day they're just terrible and hurt, saying hurtful things or just having like rages.
Mm.
So yeah, those things are red flags. So they don't indicate that definitely abuse is going to happen, but it just means like, you know, pay attention, watch for the other signs. So the signs that really do indicate a relationship is going from unhealthy to abusive are power and control. So if one partner is trying to exert power or control over their partner, that's when we know things are really going downhill.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And I feel like there's that thing where if you do have somebody who is, let's say, love bombing you, I had that issue in college. So somebody I was seeing, and I was just like, I would mention something like a shirt that I liked, and then like the next day, the shirt was showing up, and I was like, and they were a couple weeks into dating, right? And it's like, whoa, okay, hold on a second, this is a little strange to me. But you sort of forgive it at first because you feel like you want to be in a relationship, and so you sort of forgive those things. But the idea that you might just need to be a little bit more aware to protect yourself, right?
Yeah, and you want to be able to set boundaries and then notice what does your partner do in response to you setting that boundary. You know, do they become angry? Do they become petulant? Do they give you the silent treatment?
Yeah.
Or do they respect your boundary and acknowledge that you've set this boundary? And, you know?
Yeah.
Big difference.
It is a big difference. And I think the idea of the people who, you know, I feel sometimes when you have an argument or something happens, like let's say somebody has a rage moment,
mm-hmm.
but then they come back right away and try to be, you know, more loving. And that sort of seems a little bit control-y to me, you
mm-hmm.
know, in those moments. So
mm-hmm.
I'm curious about that in terms of, especially when you've been, so now if we're talking about this relationship course where you've been in it for a while,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you maybe have become accepting of certain behaviors
right.
over
mm-hmm.
time, depending upon how long you've been together, right?
Right.
And you sort of become accepting of certain behaviors, but maybe they are at a root cause that you're not recognizing. And so this course might be able to open up some, I feel like there's things you don't understand in a relationship sometimes. Like you don't know why you do things.
Oh, right.
You know, sometimes. And you want to be like, okay, I got to understand like when that button gets pushed in me, what's my response, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why am I responding that way? Is it based on something from my past? Is it something in this moment? Is it an expectation? Is it, you know, what is that? You know, and like, what the real thing here is, like, how do you deal with it, right? Like, that's what you're really going to be learning in this course.
Well, I want to distinguish this course from, like, counseling, like
okay.
couples counseling,
good.
In which you really would kind of go into, you know, why am I doing this? You
okay.
know, where is it coming from? Was it my childhood? You know,
right, right.
stuff like that.
So it's not therapy.
It's
okay.
definitely not
good.
Therapy, not even group therapy, but it's, like, education and practice.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of similar, we're not being asked to divulge sensitive and embarrassing stuff. So that's why I can do this in front of my colleagues.
Because it's a group class?
That's
Will you
right.
be there with the other couples?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I believe we have 9 couples signed up and room for a few more.
Room for a few more couples.
Yeah.
And you're going to be learning tools and techniques for conflict resolution and other sorts of things, communication.
Yeah.
What about the having fun one that I
mentioned?
Yeah,
there's
What's
a whole
one?
Lesson on having fun because a lot of us, when we get into our middle age and we're focusing on our work and our families, we kind of forget the fun part. Like, why did we fall in love to begin with?
Mm.
So one lesson kind of helps us decide when do we have free time that overlaps and what are activities that we'd both enjoy.
Is that the thing where you make an appointment with each other
I
to
think,
like a
I
date night?
That might be
like
part
that?
Of it. Yep.
Yeah, okay. making time to actually not do like the trash stuff and
exactly,
the other house
yeah.
duties and things like the kids and
yeah.
all that, but more like let's just have a time for us to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, some things might cost money, but you can find things that are free to do that you both enjoy.
Yeah.
That's
card
important.
Games, you know,
right.
play spades or hearts or something, right?
right?
Just have a little bit more fun together.
Uh-huh.
That sounds really good. This is a wonderful course. It's going to be beginning next Thursday, January 22nd. It's Healthy Relationships for Couples. It's open to couples of all genders. And it's going to be 10 weeks long, and you can sign up over at awareak.org or go over to the Aware Juno Facebook page, and there's a post about it there, and you can click the Google link and sign up for this course, and you have room for a few more couples.
That's right, we do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Natalie Watson from Aware, I really appreciate you coming in and telling us all about this. This is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Boston. I appreciate it.
And I do want to pitch that Culture Rich Conversations, which is a show that happens here on Tuesdays from the Black Awareness Association, is going to be doing a longer
mm-hmm.
Sort of two-part episode
mm-hmm.
on healthy relationships
yeah.
for couples. So you can mm-hmm. be on the lookout for that in the coming weeks. So we'll
That's
make
right.
sure we let you all know when those episodes will be airing. Is there anything else we need to mention about the course, Natalie, that we didn't get to?
It's, I just want to mention, it's one of the most researched relationship programs in the world. So it's not just like good advice. These are proven strategies that have been pulled from cognitive behavioral couples therapy, practical skills, research on commitment. And so they know that couples are reporting lower conflict, reduced separation and divorce, and a boost of confidence after doing this course.
Absolutely. That's excellent. Find more at awareak.org. Natalie, thank you so much, Gunatish, for coming in. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Up next, we'll talk with Mudrooms about their adult-only storytelling event happening this Friday. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Step in to the savory moment. Black cod probably isn't the first thing that comes to mind when you think of breakfast, but what if you found a recipe so good it made you think twice? A recipe that yields fish that is firm yet still juicy, has a perfect balance of savory and sweet, and is infused with a mysterious spice combination you can't quite put your finger on. At least, not until you've had your first cup of coffee. While you're waiting for that caffeine to kick in, know this. Lots of people, even the most passionate seafood lovers, can be intimidated by black cod. It's incredibly rich and needs high heat and lots of it to firm up. It also needs a good long marinade. The one your black cod breakfast soaked in all night long has some unusual ingredients, including sukong aloko, a fermented cane sugar vinegar from the Philippines, along with a fragrant wheel of star anise and a fresh bay leaf. I know what you're thinking. Your alarm clock is going to ring and you'll wake up to find you just dreamed this whole conversation. Rest assured, no pun intended, this recipe is deliciously real. Go ahead, pinch yourself. Black cod really is great for breakfast, but if you'd still rather have that peanut butter toast, the fish will keep just fine in its marinade until dinner time. Cook it up in a hot, hot skillet until caramelized and falling apart tender. Then serve with a bowl of pearly jasmine rice and a salad of baby spinach with chunks of mango and avocado. It might just be a dream come true. Find the full recipe for Sukong Seared Black Cod at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short-Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson right here at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Have you ever wanted to tell a story for Mudrooms, Juno's storytelling event that raises money for charity, but you thought, my story is just too spicy or too naughty or could only be told after dark with a drink in hand? Well, now that opportunity is a reality. For the second year, Mudrooms is presenting Smut Rooms, this time with the theme Hot Takes and Hot Toddies. happening this Friday, January 16th at the Crystal Saloon at 8 p.m. Apparently the show is already sold out, so count yourself lucky if you have a ticket. Don't sleep on this Juno unless your sleep is spicy and hot. I don't know what I'm talking about. But
sounds good.
Anyway, here to share more about this adult-only over 21 show is Taylor Beard and Skylar Bear, two Mudroom board members. Gunatish Wasiati. Skylar, nice to see you again.
Gunatish, great to see you.
And Taylor Wasiati, how are you?
Pretty good.
Oh, why is that? Oh, I see, because I have the wrong microphone. Now say hi.
Hi.
There we go. Okay, good. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Last year was like standing room only. Like you had to turn people away at the door because you didn't take advance reservations.
No,
right?
We were a bit overwhelmed, but in a good way. I think we turned like 50 to 100 people away.
What?
It was wild. It was wild.
Juno's that naughty, huh?
I guess
We've heard multiple people have told us that there is a serious appetite for this type of element of show.
And we're going to get into it because we've talked about it before and we've promoted this idea, but the idea, when you hear smut, instantly people's minds go a certain way. But there's a lot of range of story that can be told inside that particular umbrella, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, we think so. I think most of our stories do have to deal with sex, for sure. But, you know, we consider smut to be things that you just necessarily don't tell everyone, right? It reminds me of this, there's a podcast called Risk with an exclamation mark.
Okay.
And those stories would definitely fall within smut, where it's just like, you're not sure you want to tell it in front of a giant church of people.
You maybe wouldn't tell your boss this story.
Yeah, maybe
or your mom.
Or your mom. Your grandmother would blush. Who knows?
Yeah. You know, maybe you have a toilet trauma.
Actually, some grandmas will surprise you.
Yeah, this is true.
Totally.
This is true because, you know, they were young and wild too. You know,
yes.
That's true. They just don't tell the story.
And then
anymore.
You are blushing as a result of whatever
you're
they
like,
say
hey,
to
grandma,
you.
Yes. Wait a minute. That is so funny. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that can fall under this. That's why I guess you take it out of the church and put it at Crystal Saloon.
Yeah. You know, we're just trying to spice it up a bit, hit a slightly different demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Having a bar there changes the mood and, you know, the lighting and the venue and all have, you know, it's just a different kind of show.
You can have a drink in hand. Now, this was a ticketed event.
Yeah, it was.
Right?
Yes.
Because you had to get tickets in advance. So it's sold out. But can people, if they want, can they show up on Friday and get on a wait list or is there going to or what?
So I went ahead and bought two general admission tickets that I wanted to offer in a contest. So if you have not gotten tickets, I would encourage you to go on our Instagram and like the post that we have just put up about Smut Rooms and tag a person you'd like to get sweaty with at Smut Rooms.
Ah.
And I think we will decide probably end of day tomorrow. We'll look through all of the entries and randomly pick two people to get those tickets.
Okay. And what is the Instagram? Is it just
the
Mud
Instagram
Rooms?
Is Juno Mudrooms.
Juno Mudrooms. Okay, mm-hmm. So at Juno Mudrooms on Instagram.
On Instagram.
Do the standard thing, like the post, and then tag somebody.
Yep.
And then you may be able to win some tickets.
You may be able to win some tickets.
Okay. And is there going to be a wait list on Friday or no?
So what we've been told is that they will be counting at the door so that if people don't show up, they can let extra individuals in. Now, I don't know if there's wiggle room with fire codes, so I can't say anything officially. Yeah.
I see.
Give it a try.
So you can take your chances.
Yeah.
And if you can't get into Smut Rooms at 8 o'clock, then you can go over to Imperial and get a burger or something.
Right. Feel free to contact the Crystal directly to get a better idea.
Sense
of
it.
What
I don't know what their capacity is down there, but
I think it depends on how the space is set up.
Right. Whether they have the tables and things like that. So perhaps they're able to make a little bit more room. Who knows? So because of the popularity of these of last year and now this year being sold out already, do you feel like you might be looking at offering this particular storytelling event more than once a year?
Well,
yeah,
because I do a lot of the trying to line up stories and storytellers and run rehearsals and everything. But a lot of the time we struggle with getting enough storytellers for regular mudroom shows.
Mm.
So we have to have the content. We have to have the people. And it reminds me of the saying, like, everyone wants a village, but no one wants to be a villager.
Right.
Everyone wants to be an audience member, but they don't necessarily want to be a teller. Right? So you got to
hear the smut. They don't want to tell
dig
the smut.
Deep
but I will say, and I always say, the storytelling shows are the best to be a performer for because everyone is already like there to listen to you. Like they want to hear about your life. They want to be there with you in your story. It's like one of the most supportive audiences you can ever perform for anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. The Juno crowd is very welcoming, very warm, and very forgiving too, which is kind of nice. So let's talk specifically about this event on Friday then. Who are the storytellers? Can we shout those out?
Yes, we have B.G. Loper, Kelby Randall, Ryan Belmore, Misha Pino, and Cam Burns.
Okay. Cam Burns, the photographer.
Mm-hmm. He's got a spicy one.
Okay. So without giving away which story is going with which person, Skylar, I know you've been in on rehearsals and stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about Radio Friendly, like what we might hear about on Friday?
Well, let's see. Some of them are about...
They're both looking up like, oh, let me see. What can I actually say on the radio?
Some of them are about, you know, relationships with multiple people. Some of them are about being in places where, you know, sex happens, although they might not be part of that. There's a story about an Amsterdam sex show.
Okay.
I don't think that gives too much away. And then, you know, there's a story too about finding ticks in awful places.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. They're all excellent stories. Yeah. We had rehearsal last night. So.
Oh, that's amazing.
And some include broken hearts and others include family members maybe finding out a little bit too much about your love life. So, yeah, there's kind of a range of things. A lot of laughter, I'd say, I'd expect, and a, oh, my God, kind of moments.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So, because what I'm working towards here is thinking about, you know, inspiring those who may or may not think their story is, you know, spicy or smutty enough.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you last year, you know, my husband told the first story, and he told a story about his ex-wife's, the person she had an affair with. And this person showed up in Juneau. I know. Totally. And didn't even recognize him. And he almost ran into him multiple times. And everyone loved that story. But in the end, nothing ever actually happened. It was just all about the tension and like how he like kept himself back from doing something that might not be so great.
Wasn't there one last year, too, about some bathroom issues or something? Wasn't there something?
I'm trying to remember.
I thought you told me that, Taylor, that maybe there was something about that.
Might have been
but I feel
show.
Like that, maybe that was mudroom.
Maybe, perhaps.
Because I'm thinking like you could.
That was mudroom.
I think of like the Friends episode with Ross with the leather pants and he goes into the bathroom and he's trying to get the leather pants off and he can't get them off. And then, like that's a funny story, which is sort of smut related. You know, which could
kind
of
be embarrassing.
Well, I mean,
like,
there's,
embarrassing.
There is, there, like the story that I told last year on stage was, you know, it was a shorter story because I'm a host, but. It was sex adjacent, I would say. Like it was talking about how I found out last minute that I was going to be substitute teaching and teaching sex ed, and like all of and how I was in this very small town and there were, I mean, we're talking a graduating class of 21 people, and in each class there was somebody who was pregnant. So in my mind, I was like, oh, we need to have a real talk. So it was sex adjacent, but it wasn't directly about sex. But so it does not have to be about sex.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a story last year about like some gang related activity of someone's new husband that was like very like, you know, don't know what he went off and did in the dark, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All
right. So yeah, you know, I feel like there can be a range. Of course, like sex is sort of the obvious, you know, go to, but I feel like there's a lot of embarrassing bathroom stories out there. I think the one related to ticks is going to be...
The ticks sounds...
going to be so good.
It's one of those where you're like, you cringe because you just don't want that to be happening to
you. But like, the thing is I think we have all had those moments where we're like, what's going on with me? This is bad, but I really don't feel comfortable talking to anyone about this.
There's a lot of stuff that's very relatable.
Yeah. So if you have one of these stories or you're thinking about it, is this something that I could also... Skylar, bring to, let's say, one of the workshops that you all do.
Sure,
And sort of like try to work it out and be like, you know, I have this sort of embarrassing or strange, weird story, sex adjacent or whatever, that might be tellable, but I need to figure out the form of what it is, mm-hmm. because that's something you all have been doing recently, which is instead of every month having a mudrooms, like every other month you're doing a mudrooms, and then in between you're doing a workshop, right?
Yeah, and we canceled the workshop this last week just because the weather was terrible. So we're going to – well, I'm going to reschedule sometime this spring. I just haven't – had time yet to decide when, but we'll move it to sometime in the spring for sure.
Because I think that we've talked about it before, but like I remember a survey. I don't know if it's still true or not, but it used to be maybe 20, 30 years ago, there was a study that showed that, people would rather die than speak in public.
Yeah.
Right? So, but part of mudroom's, joy and magical. The magic of it is that it is a community-based event. And like mm-hmm. Skylar said, the community is so warm and welcoming and just mm-hmm. is there to support you in the story that you want to tell, right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I feel like we're not...
You make friends from this.
Yeah, you make friends from it. Yeah, and you're not like... So, I mean, you have enough audience. What you all need is storytellers, even for the regular mudrooms, right? Like, you're always looking for people to...
We're always looking. And that's what partly why we, I think, reduce the number of shows, too, is mm-hmm. just... It's a lot of people to try to recruit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so this one, which is sold out on Friday, January 16th at the Crystal Saloon at 8 p.m., you can maybe show up and try to get in. You can try to go to Instagram and see if you can win some tickets that Taylor is going to be giving away. Like the post and tag somebody that, as Taylor says, that you want to get sweaty with on Friday night. So that's happening. This one's happening. When's the next regular mudrooms for folks over at the Kunikidi Northern Light Church? When's that happening?
That is the second Tuesday in February.
Okay. And do we know what the theme is of that one?
Sweet Revenge.
February 10th.
February 10th, Sweet Revenge. And are you still looking for people to sign up for
that
one?
Yes. Okay. We absolutely are.
And you go to mudrooms.org if you're interested in becoming a storyteller. And you have that one, and is there one more after that?
Yes. March?
We do. Yeah. March 10th.
Okay.
And the theme is Doggone It, Ruh-roh. So that's, maybe you want to talk about dogs, but maybe you want to talk about something that went wrong.
Right. I love that.
That moment where you understand that it is all going south.
Yeah. Everything is, happening.
Honestly, if it was a story about dogs, no one would complain.
That's true.
Yeah, this is a very dog-friendly community.
We love the dogs in Juneau. So that's cool. Well, it's excellent. And wait, you don't know when the next workshop is yet, Skylar? You're gonna
reschedule I haven't. I really, with everything that's gone on the last couple of weeks, and I teach at UIS right now, and this is the first week of classes. So
you're a little tired.
I need a minute.
You need a hot minute. Yeah, I totally get that. But it's Smut Rooms this Friday, Hot Takes and Hot Toddies down at the Crystal Saloon, Sweet Revenge, and Ruh-roh is coming in. Doggone It, Ruh-roh is in March. February 10th is going to be Sweet Revenge. You can sign up to be a storyteller,
And one last thing, we didn't get to mention the beneficiary for this. That's the Juneau Big Band.
Okay.
So it's been, I think it formerly was the Thunder Mountain Big Band, but it is the big band for the capital city here.
Awesome.
So they're going to be, the beneficiary.
Juneau Big Band, the beneficiary for Friday night. And do you have the beneficiaries for this spring as well already?
Yes, it is. It is the food bank.
The food bank. Very important, right? Especially with everything that's been happening this winter.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Taylor Beard, Skylar Bear. Thank you for coming in. Mudrooms.org is where you can keep in touch. Follow their Instagram. You probably also – are you on the Facebook as well?
Yes,
we are.
You are on the Facebook.
I didn't think about the Facebook part.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's been a nuts week. So
we're all in that. We're in the melting
phase.
We're
all recovering from shoveling for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming in. Grüne Cheese for being here.
Grüne Cheese.
Grüne Cheese.
That that will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Local people, local stories, local connection made possible by your support and membership at KTOO.org. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Junok Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can find the show online at KTOO.org/JunoAfternoon or look for our live stream archives over on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support comes from listeners and viewers like you and Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Grass, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gonna cheese!